Blog Talk Radio.
My friends, to where the music never ends. We're so glad for all your minds that we find, that we find. Good evening, everybody, and welcome to Late Night Poets Rhythm and Rhyme Show. We are part of the world's largest community. That's allpoetry.com, and there you can find us, the Late Night Poets. We put these radio shows on 7 nights a week, 10 p.m. till midnight. Come join us early on Mondays for Keeping It Brief. Then come back at 10 p.m. and hang with our Wilder Ruyu in Nature and Front Page Picks. Dig into the twisted thoughts of the Twisted Sisters on Twisted Tuesdays. Turn up the heat with the Art of Seduction on Wednesday. Thursdays are split between In Our Craft or Stone Art and Double Phoenix with Aphasiana and Dan. Friday, Come Fill My Eyes with Open Poetry. And Saturdays are split with Gray Eyes and Dan Howling at the Moon in the Northern Climes, giving you bad company, and exploring ekphrasia with Captain B2 and Gray. And if you're looking for a little more edgy realm, then please check out our After Midnight shows, 12:30 to 2:30 a.m.
Tuesday through Saturday mornings. Come take a walk on the wild side Tuesday. Fridays is split with Break On Through and Echoes in the Dark with Pam, and sit in with a phase gun at Bab on Saturday as they teach you the fine art of becoming part sinner, part saint. Check out the contest at Bronx Soul by Shows. Call and read your poems. Hang for the fun. And if you do SoundClouds, please attach them to your poems so we can listen to you read your words. Good evening, Jean.
Hello, Rex, and how are you tonight?
I'm fine. You have that puddle of mud of sleep that you were in just
showing. Oh, my God, no. I'm still trying to shake it off. I swear I am. I swear. It's terrible. Oh, my goodness. Oh, you're talking about blurry. I got it. I'm telling you.
Or that opening song, you feel like you're stoned.
Oh, God. No, that might give me a chuckle. Oh, wow, it was hard. I fell asleep so good and sound, first time I ever thought I wasn't going to manage. I said, oh, no. But I didn't have the heart to call Pam. But speaking of Pam, hello, Pam. How are you tonight?
Hi, Bill. Hi, Rex. Doing great.
Hey.
How are you?
You know, no sense complaining, girlfriend.
Well, obviously you're not great, but, yeah, no, I get it. I get it. There is stuff going around, and, it seems like everybody's coming down with something. I've been adjusting to a new medicine for my blood sugars, and it's, like, got these side effects of tiredness and headache and body aches. So I can't tell if I'm, like, coming down with something or if I just have to make it through the side effects. But either way, I took a couple hour nap and I did something I don't usually do, which is I had a cup of coffee at like about 8 o'clock at night sure that I would be awake.
Well, I'll tell you, I talked to Rex about 8:30 and I said, yeah, all the audios are in, right? And that was fine. And the next thing I knew, I said, you know, Rex, I really think I'm going to take a nap. I really feel like I need one, right? I hung up the phone with him, and I hopped on the bed, and I was gone in, like, minutes, okay?
Uh-huh.
It took me, I think it was around 10:05 when I finally got myself, like, up and moving. I was like, oh, my God. And I had to go get a drink of water, right, to get through the show. And I'm like, should I hit the button now to sign on, or should I wait? So I think I got a minute to do it. Oh, God, I was like, it was rough. It was really rough. And normally 9:30 alarm off. I'm good for maybe one snooze if I'm really tired. Not tonight, but I'll tell you, it's not happening. So, yeah, not even an exaggeration. But, yeah, I was tired. So I'm ready to do it again, I said. I'm ready for another nap. But first the show. And then it's going to be a long nap. Rex, it looks like we got a good board for tonight. Yeah, right, exactly.
Got a few pieces.
How many?
Got
a few, did you say?
I think it's 13.
Yeah.
I think there's a dozen on the board.
Good. Very good. Nothing wrong with a dozen. The only thing better than a dozen is a baker's dozen. You know? Can't complain, right? Oh,
dang,
my goodness.
Everybody likes to make the famous.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Yeah, that's the way I think about it. Give me something sweet. Give me more of it. Oh, gosh. I'm sorry. Oh, Lord, have mercy. I wish I had PMB the phones. I could have just been a sidekick and stayed on mute half the time. Ah, maybe it'll wake up. I don't know. We'll see. If you hear me snoring, nobody's allowed to laugh.
All right. I guess your choices are we either hear you snore or we go over and over again, Phil, are you on mute? Are you asleep?
That's right. Pick one. Pick your poison. Yes, absolutely. Oh, my God. That's terrible. So, Rex, come on and tell us all about this show for tonight.
Well, actually, maybe Pam has more insight on this since it was her pick.
Oh, well, there you go, Pam. Tell us all about it.
Oh, sure. Well, you know, I had a feeling Rex would say that, though.
Well,
so I
got
came
to
there.
Why not?
Because I actually didn't know a whole lot about Puddle of Mud. I just simply liked to listen to their music, and I just so happened to be listening one day, and I said, you know, hey, Rex, check this out. Maybe we can consider it. You can consider it. And so I was pleasantly surprised when it was his next rhythm and rhyme contest up, so I thought that was really cool. But yeah, so super excited. Now, Puddle of Mud was formed in Kansas City, Missouri in 1992. Throughout the years, there have been a lot of changes in their members and some controversy, including getting kicked out of Graceland for jumping in the swimming pool. They are considered, because they're still active, a post-grunge, hard rock, alternative metal, and nu metal. Their influences are Tom Waits, Queen, and Pantera, and Alice in Chains. The name of the band came from having to walk through water on the first floor of their the house that they practice at. Now, their equipment was never damaged because that was on the second floor, but in order to get through it, because of the flooded Missouri River, they would have to walk through a puddle of mud. They added the extra D in mud just for, you know, to stand out a little more. Their original lineup consisted of Wes Gamblin, who has remained the only consistent member throughout the years, who is lead vocals and rhythm guitar, Jimmy Allen, lead guitar, Sean Salmon, bass, and Kenny Burkett, drums. Their first release, Stuck, was a 7-song EP released in 1994 and was produced by the band itself and E.J. Rose, recorded at Red House Studios in Lawrence, Kansas. There came from that two radio singles, You Don't Know and Drift and Die. Minus Jimmy Allen, they then released in 1997 the album Abrasive, which was recorded on the Madison, Wisconsin record label Hard Knocks Records. Let's see, what else? Because of differences of opinions and other factors, the original band broke up, leaving only Scantlin, who was actually going to call it quits and move from Kansas City to New Orleans to become a bartender. When he actually had the opportunity to sneak a demo tape to the bodyguard of Fred Durst, lead singer of Limp Bizkit, because the Family Values Tour happened to be in town. Fred Durst signed them up after hearing the demo tape, him up to his new record label, Flawless Records. At that time, they put a new band together, which consisted of Scantlin, Doug Ardito, bass guitar, Paul Phillips, guitar lead, and Greg Upchurch on drums. Their first major label debut album, Come Clean, sold more than any other albums throughout the years. This was mainly because of the fact that when they released that album in 2001, the more aggressive rock sound was starting to become less popular. And by the time they released their second major label album, the aggressive rock sound that they represented was pretty much out. It was no longer a thing. Now, obviously, those of us who are fans of that hard-hitting, edgy, aggressive rock sound still continue to like it. But, you know, as most things, there is always changing tides. Their first album, Wes Gatlin wrote most of the songs himself, with But with Jimmy Allen being credited as a co-writer for Blurry, She Hates Me, and Drift and Die. What else here? Let's see. Got some other, few other interesting facts. Here we go. A quote. This is a quote from Wes Scantlin describing his songwriting, his formula for songwriting success. I always like to break it down in the middle eight and then erupt it in the middle. And then elevate it from the ground level and make it boom, go crazy, straight to the moon, and have a killer last chorus with an insane outro. When the their first major album came out, when their first major album came out, their lineup was Doug Ardito in bass guitar, Paul Phillips in lead guitar, and Greg Upchurch in drums, I think. Or did I get that wrong? Yeah. No, that is right. Okay, I had to think about that for a moment. Prior to Puddle of Mud, Greg Upchurch actually was in a band with Chris Cornell, and Scantlin's moment of realizing he wanted to start a band came when he skipped a soccer game to see a Van Halen concert, and of course he was kicked off the team, but obviously, you know, history and music speaks for itself. So that's a bit there about Puddle of Mud, whose music I very much enjoy, and I'm, you know, just really thrilled that Rex went with this. So, yeah. And, of course, you know, if Rex wants to add anything that I missed.
Actually, you hit everything. I think the controversies that surround them is what keeps their record sales down, because most of the controversies roll around lip syncing, which tends to piss audience off. Audiences off. And he's been accused of that probably looks like about a half a dozen times. They're also accused of throwing beer and a microphone into the audience and threatening to physically attack the audience. Again, booed off stage for lip syncing multiple times. That one record is 5 million. 5 million records sold on that one album. They've sold 7 million. They've done a bunch of albums. So he seems to want to be the bad boy of rock and roll, yet he doesn't back it up with the music, which is kind of sad. If you're gonna go on stage, you better be singing. Lip syncing sucks.
Yeah, that is very true. There is no denying that. You know, and I'm sure they're not the first or last band to do it. However, you know, you can't cop that attitude if you're not going to, you know, like you said, you can't cop an attitude. And there's no denying there's been attitude. There's been, like, some behavior that is not acceptable to the fans. So definitely.
That's the biggest note, considering the price of tickets. And, yeah, that's just not a good look.
Yeah.
it's one thing to be a bad boy and make a tag of David Bowie and company and actually do it on stage as well. You give the audience what they came for, their money's worth.
Yep. Especially like you were saying, with the cost of tickets nowadays, it's insane. You know?
Well, hell yeah. My first concert was $4 or $5.
Yep.
I have to see the John McLaughlin and the Mahavishnu Orchestra doing Birds of Fire back in 1975. My first big one with Black Sabbath, yes, and Miss Lake of Palm, they were all $7.
Crazy. Changing times,
By the time 1980 came around, or 1981, I saw the Stones' first farewell concert, That was a $20 ticket. Then in Elton John in, must have been 2016. No, not 2000. That was $50. Now they're a hell of a lot more, plus the private shows. Hey, you want a private show? Yeah, $2,500 a ticket.
Yeah, you definitely pay that extra, that's for sure. There's definitely no denying. They have not, obviously, they always been the best as far as, I mean, and there was even a show, like I think there was a show somewhere in Texas that, it might not have been Texas, but there was at least one show, probably more, that they missed without explanation. But you know what? Their music is good. It was obviously inspiring to our poet, with the amount of rights that you have on the board. And you know what? They won't, like I said, they're not the first or the last band to misbehave and still, you know, have us enjoy the music for what it is. So.
Yep. Oh, next week's going to be a good one, though. Hey, Steve Winwood
saw that. Very cool.
Week. Everything from the Spencer Davis Group to Blind Faith, the Traffic, and the solo career. So
that's going to be an awesome show, too. That is quite a talent there. 60 years. Oh, my goodness.
Yep. Yeah. He was first Spencer Davis with in 1964. He was all of 16 years old.
Oh, wow. That's young.
Well, then, why don't we kick this off and get the stuff on roll?
Oh, sorry, guys. I was lip syncing. But nobody hit the button.
Is that what you're going to use now for the mutational angle?
Yes, I am. Yes, I am. All night long. Nobody turned on the button, so nobody knew. See how
that is. You're going to pull a Milli Vanilli.
That's right. All night long. All night long. Anyway, I couldn't resist. Well, our first song for the night is Psycho. And let me get that started. I'm going to hit the button.
Maybe I'm the one. Maybe I'm the one who is the schizophrenic psycho, yeah. Maybe I'm the one. Maybe I'm the one who is the schizophrenic psycho. We're gonna win now.
Oh, there's a way to leave, oh. The psycho.
There you go. Absolutely. Okay. Well, Rex, I'm going to put this first piece up for you to read, and it's called Dark in a Small Town by Jim Bellamy.
Dark in a Small Town by Jim Bellamy. I was sick and tired of everything when I called you last night from otherworldliness, sun discovered under dark in a small town. All I do is use a reeling time, candler to extemporize my chins with suicides and messing up God's vast throne home with twixt handlers and shearers of slappers whose ideal stasis carries wolves to foxlands. Wishing piles of dirty dulcimers with mazes for vain clothes. Gimme to depose of cells with scurriers and dented dune smiles. Won't somebody help me learn all about roomy kids and terminal scar kitten? Gimme to depose of cells with scurriers and dented dune smiles. I really want to learn all about roomy kids and terminal scar kittens. Mistress Anansi, the utmost bride of the bride, I was defeated, you won the war. Mistress Anastasi, the utmost spider bride, promised to love me forevermore. Mistress Anansi, the utmost spider bride, couldn't escape if wanted to. Mistress Anansi, the utmost spider bride, knowing the fate is to be with you. Ooh, what now for mouths and sworn-eyed teeth? Ooh, what now for mouths and sworn-eyed teeth? Ooh. What now for mouths and sore-eyed teeth? What now for mouths and sore-eyed teeth? What now for mouths and sore-eyed teeth? Mistress Anansi, the utmost spider bride. Finally facing Mistress Anansi, the utmost spider bride. You are the dancing to the midday world wreck. Premier to vulgar masters here in other wilderness. Some discovered under dark in a small town. Dancing to the midday world wreck. Premier to vulgar masters. Feel the beat from the tambourine. You can learn all about roomy kids and terminal scar kittens. You can learn about all about roomy kids and terminal scar kittens. Having the time of your life. Gimme to depose of cells with scurriers and dented dune smiles. Won't somebody help you learn all about roomy kids and terminal scar kittens? They're the never-ending stories about naked pig and fatal sky fires, and the never-ending stories about naked pig and fatal sky fires, and the never-ending stories about naked pig and fatal sky fires, and the never-ending stories about naked pig and fatal sky fires. They're the never-ending stories about naked pig and fatal sky fires with me. You used to lazing across milk and all limbs daubed and raised. You used to lacing across milk with all limbs daubed, then raised when you needed me. Lacing across milk with all limbs daubed, then raised. My pancreatic livers with blood food stopped. My pancreatic livers with blood food stopped. I hold back. Sometimes I want jazzes to dissolvers of failures and ashy laces. I feel good. Sometimes I don't do moony crowned with lunacrotics and bitten fields. I walk down Michaelmas Summit Street, new, a 78. Sometimes I jazzes to dissolvers of failures and ashy laces. Sometimes I walk. And go. All right, Pam.
All right. I was expecting that. I had my finger hovering over the unmute button. All right. But great read there, Rex. As always, he's got thought-provoking, edgy, and hard-hitting imagery and metaphors. Love some of his references. Anansi, the spider trickster, which of course brings to thought the idea of come into my parlor, said the spider to the fly. I thought this to me spoke mainly on the idea of trying to find and reveal the truth of self. I did look up selves spelled C-E-L-L-V-E-S, and found out that, I looked this up earlier today, I found out it came from a quote from Jim Morrison. I wonder which one of myself people will remember. But before I looked it up, I had the idea of, the self trapped within, because your cells are inside yourself, but a cell is also another word for a prison. And so becoming a prison of inside yourself, of the struggle between the person you are and the person that you want to be. And I really felt like this spoke also on the idea of taking that journey through a world that is filled with those tricksters, and as he says, those vulgar masters, those things and those people that try to control, and the idea of trying to break away from it all. I did like the repetition of gimme, 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 which really shows the persona of a society that is filled with greed. Gimme, gimme, gimme to dispose of selves with scurriers and dented dune smiles. Won't somebody help me learn all about roomy kids and terminal scar kittens? They're the never-ending stories about naked pigs and fatal sky fires. And the never-ending stories about naked pig and veiled starfires and the never-ending stories. You know, and that use of repetition really drives the point home. And, you know, I look at the phrase starfires, and I think of the flame in the eyes because, you know, the size that you get near your eyes. And the naked pig makes me think of Animal Farm. And the idea of that transformation from the pig taking over and then becoming like the humans that we despise. And, you know, at what point do we realize that we are becoming what we despise? Anyways, those are just a few of the thoughts I had with this poem, which, like I said, wonderfully thought-provoking and very well done.
Nice, Pam. Thank you. Gene, how about you?
Yeah, what Pam said. All of it. for real. But I have to say that the song is psycho, and I think that the mix of thoughts throughout this poem really did suit the song in a lot of ways. You know, I mean, I understand Pam made all kinds of sense of all kinds of things, and, you know, off the cuff, we all know I suck, but you know, I gotta tell the truth. But I definitely could see the correlation between the two, the song and this poem, and I think it was interesting. It really was, and as Pam said, thought provoking. Definitely had me going, wait a minute, huh? And no sooner I would try and catch up with one part, you were onto another, and I'm going, oh, okay. So it was pretty interesting and nicely penned. So nice job, Jim, and thanks for sharing.
Yes, this was it did come out as a kind of a psychotic ride, but I'm going to walk with that opening. I was sick and tired of everything when I called you last night from otherworldliness. Sun discovered under dark in a small town. All I do is use a reeling time candle to extemporize, march in for suicide, and messing up God's vast throne home with twist handlers and shearers of slappers whose ideal face is carried wolves to fox strings. Now, that opening and the title, Dark and Small Town, had me thinking, especially with the sun discovered under dark, had me thinking of, considering he wrote it on the 8th, part of this is about the total eclipse, and it walks in a note of madness and what the, and you hear a bunch of talking boot-headed imbeciles yakking on about this and that. Oh, this is about this and this is about that. So it kind of hits on the idea of the driven madness and the possibilities of what happens when everything goes dark in the moment and what happens with that. The idea with the Mistress Anansi, the unloved spider bride, knowing my fate is to be with you, and the from out in sore night, the Sawn IP, kind of the idea of those who file down their canines to more of a point for whatever reason. And you got the thought with the Roomy Kids and Terminal Scar Kittens, kind of hit the scar thing, and hit the idea of plasticity, the notes of morphing one's body, as well as all the plastic surgery. What else we got here? All limbs daubed, then raised. You used to go to lazy and brush milk with all limbs daubed, then raised. The milk kind of references almost a note of purity, the softness in flesh. The pancreas livers with blood food stops, poison that's dipped into the food, so all the shit that don't need to be there, but it is there anyway. Oh, it's only for the taste. Yes, but you won't mind the extra aluminum. It's good for you. No, it's not.
Yeah.
So it's about the lunacy of a full and total eclipse. And hey, what comes along with the madness? Because it's being spewed everywhere. I like that.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, guys, great comments. And the next book I have is called The Mind Motel by our very own Eric Svensson. And I have an audio for this. So here we go.
Mind Motel. Room service unplanned for. Creepy crawlies in a mud puddle. Snails, snakes, quaint salamander on the side. Slam, bam, shut bedroom door. Been traveling from dawn to dusk. Tired old husks needs to rest him weary trombone burns. Psycho neon sign flickers. Moths bicker, bite back at siren red hot rod tube. She hated moths, said they were spirits of dead people. See ya, she, kind old lady on the outside born in Yorkshire. Funny how she insisted on calling me Eric, not Sven, when we met. Moody blues kind of night, mishmash mind motel, knackered paddywhack smog presents itself. Think it was in Badland somewhere. Been road tripping from Yellowstone. Crisscross country crotches hot and sweaty. Scrunched map of USA blotched by perspiration. Ketchup stained signal remind of infected blood. Endless discourse, intercourse on America the Brave. Shiny 18-wheeler trucks turned him on. Badlands Motel sparked the psycho in both of us. Quaint salamander on the side removed itself. Joined by the hip, two vitriol vipers remained. UFO circle of motley yellow bedroom light arrested, alluded to purgatory as an option, concluded by Dante, the first circle of hell would be the abode. Same salacious, sexy mouth as the lead singer, long luscious Rossetti blonde curls cascaded down. Third month of well-hung road tripping clung. Tiger moth a bicker abiting. But we desperado clung to each other in our far-flung American Arcadia. Mind Motel reminds, unbind psycho imprints, rescind, reject all remorse. Though his veins had become a Bates Motel nightmare, Freddy Krueger blotches hadn't appeared yet. Way back in 94, Psycho Society still referred to the gay plague.
Great read, Eric. Thank you, Kip Town Clown. Very much appreciated. All right, Gene, why don't we start with you? Are you lip-syncing again?
Matter of fact, I was. Yes, I was.
I'm going to have to disperse that with the mutation and angle.
Oh, my God, I'm telling you. These are something different to say. You know, this is a great piece by Eric. Definitely, you know, he definitely dances to the beat of a different drummer with his work, and I always do appreciate that. There's so many different angles in each one of these stanzas, but you know, I like how he started out, room service unplanned for creepy crawlies in a mud puddle, snails, snakes, quaint salamander on the other side, slam bam, shut the motel bedroom door, been traveling from dawn to dusk, tired old husks need to rest, some weary trombone bones. It's a great way to introduce us to the piece, at least I felt so. So much happening all the way through in this piece. A moody blues kind of night, mishmash mind motel, knackered patty whack, smorgasbord presents itself. Yeah, you know, he just goes on and through, and the imagery and the descriptions and just the clever way of incorporating all this into this piece. And I have to say that, you know, he's amazing. I mean, with some of this, I look and I go, okay, did I catch everything? Probably not. Probably nowhere near everything. But, yeah, it was just definitely a well-penned and descriptive piece. So excellent job, Eric, and thank you so much for writing for us. Excellent, excellent work.
Nice. Thank you. Oh, yeah. What do you think?
I like this. I thought it was a great take on the chosen prom. I really like how he takes us back to his own memories and this journey he took of self-discovery to a foreign land, and the people he met and what society was like at that time. Such hard-hitting and edgy lines. Throughout, brilliant imagery and metaphors. I really liked Moody Blues Kind of Night, Mishmash Mind Motel, Knackered, Paddywhack, Smorgasbord Presents Itself. I think it was in Badlands somewhere, been road tripping from Yellowstone, crisscross country crotches, hot and sweaty, scrunched map of USA blotched by perspiration. It's that raw ugliness and sexuality of youth, and you know the idea of that exploration of not only discovering a new country but discovering a new self, along with the people who kind of help to guide you. Even if there's somebody you don't keep in contact with, sometimes you meet people that help to form you into the person that you become. And like the nod to the woman who kept calling him Eric, his all poetry name. I thought that was really cool, but great lines throughout, raw and honest and very well done.
Nice. Thank you. That opening stanza does hit on the idea of
all those motels and other things they were called, something courts back in the day, that they're smaller. They're out on the dusty roads of nowhere, so to speak. You get that note of a snail, snake, salamander, so on. But you open up the second one, Psycho Neon Sign Flickers. And I was thinking of the Bates Motel is going to be in this film somewhere. And he did allude to that. He rolled down to the back end. Though his veins had become a Bates Hotel Motel nightmare, Freddy Krueger watches hadn't appeared yet way back in 94. Psycho Society still referred to the gay place. This was about that whole note of traveling light, and as Sam hit on the idea of discovery, rolling through everything from the Badlands to Yellowstone, those motels. The idea, I had me thinking of Lou Reed's Take a Walk on the Wild Side, that travel from one place across country, so to speak. And the Moody Blues was a nice touch, a Moody Blues kind of night. There was that offering of a nice and white satin, so to speak, with that note. The let's see, what else we got? The scorched map of USA, blotched by perspiration, catches stained signal, remind of infected blood. He had already got started into the illusion of where he's going. Endless discourse, intercourse, America the brave, shiny 18-wheeler trucks turned him on. That's that line that had me thinking of Take a Walk on the Wild Side from Lou Reed. And then he rolls into same salacious fixed mouth of Philippe Singh, along luscious rosetti blonde curls, cascade down. Tiger moth, the digger, a bison. The sort of quarreling, the idea of arguing in the moment because they spent so much time together making this road trip. You get on each other's nerves at times. And these places are always small, so, and there's not a whole lot of place to go once you're there, so you're kind of stuck in the moment. But the back end, he rounds it out as to the whole idea within that traveling and what was going on at that period of time. God, it's 30 years ago now. The Bates Motel, the Freddy Krueger angle, and the gay plague as that note to age back then. So, well done, Pete Derrick. Damn.
Yep, yep. Very, very good. Nice comments, guys. The next song I'm going to play is Away From Me. So, here we go.
Sitting here by myself, and I think you found some.
Yeah. Well, the piece that we have to go with this is called Puppets in Puddles by Duncan Ross Bell. I'm going to go ahead and give this one a read. Puppets in Puddles. I'm just a peephole like you. I'm just my father's abuse. And still I keep this candle by my side. From this light, I see a night. I see the reasons I still hide. Drops from the eve to my eye. Release of vapid disguise. No flame to turn to. I'm outside. Loss of light, I flee the night. I see no reasons, no place to hide. I soon defy my own. Too soon to fly alone. I've lost the air, I'm falling out again. Just a victim of flight. Ghost on the doorstep. A loss inside. And the taste so bitter. Puppets in puddles. Stand and cry alone. Absolve and deliver. Just a sliver, that's true. I'm just a giver like you. I soon defy my own, too soon to fly alone. I've lost the air, I'm falling out again. End poem.
Great, Jean, thank you very much. All right, Pam, you're in the next one.
All right, yeah, I like this one. Oh my goodness, it really packed an emotional punch to it. Great rhyme and flow, powerful line. I like how he spoke on the struggle between the light and the dark carried within and passed from one generation to the next. And that really comes out all the way through, but especially in those first two stanzas. I'm just a peephole like you. I'm just my father's abuse and still I keep this candle by myself. From this light, I see the night. I see the reasons I still hide. Brilliant lines speaking on the idea that no matter how much we try, and it always seems like, you know, most times it seems like people can go in two extreme directions when they grow up in an abusive household with, you know, and that is they're either going to repeat that generational curse or they're going to try so hard to fight against it. They're going to try to constantly be that light for other people. And, you know, which is a beautiful thing, but at the same time, it doesn't always work. You always have that inner struggle. You always have that darkness that you seem to walk on the edge of. Another part that really stood out to me is just a victim of flight, ghost on the doorstep, a loss inside, and the taste so bitter. You know, those bitter memories that just keep coming back over and over again and making you question who you are. Amazing write and very well done.
All right, thank you, Jim. And Jean, you got to read and walk out to you.
I did. I thought it was well penned and well expressed. Nice imagery and a great take on the prompt, I thought. There's so many great lines and stanzas throughout. But I love how he started this out. I'm just a peephole like you. I'm just my father's abuse. And still I keep this candle by my side. From this light, I see the night. I see the reasons I still hide. You know, he holds on to that light just to keep him safe in some way or another. And I like that. Drops from Eve to my eye, release of vapid disguise. No flame to turn to, I'm outside. Loss of light, I flee the night. I see no reasons, no place to hide. I just thought it was well done. And nice work, Duncan Ross Bell. Great job, and thanks for sharing.
Absolutely. Nice. Yeah, I could get that note to abuse, and it could be on a familiar note, but I was just wondering also because of some of the language, ghosts on a doorstep, a lost inside, and the taste so bitter, puppets and puddles, stand or cry alone, absolve and deliver, just a sliver, that's true. I was wondering if this is not so much being at home with the father, but being relegated to a home where kids are taken in and they're not really taken care of, so to speak. People are gathering up the money because they're being paid to do it, yet the kids aren't really being treated well. So that note with the candlelight, so to speak,
I see the night, I see the reasons I survive this fear, and that kind of hits me with the idea of some of these homes, and even the state-run homes. This could walk in that note, where you're just one of the many. You're not being treated as a kid, or even as if you have any worth. You're just treated as a paycheck. And that note of, too soon to fly alone, I've lost the air, I'm falling out again. The idea that youth walks in that note, and just a victim of flight, ghost on the doorstep. I really like that note because it hits with the idea of being left out, locked out, or maybe locked in to a smaller confine, puppets in puddles, stand and cry alone. So it's the idea of kids being arranged in such a manner throughout their whole day that they don't have any chance to be kids. They're just that model of whatever this individual, this corporation, this home wants them to be. So nice, Duncan. Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Very cool. Okay. And the next piece I have is called Drift and Die. So let me put that on, and here we go. Oh, no, wait. Wrong one. I almost said the wrong one. Nice. Okay. Pam, I'm going to ask you to read this next piece. It's called Beside the Door by Virtual Anomaly. So whenever you're ready.
All right. The architect of my days gone had vanished with the key. He grieved the world and threw his stones with regularity. The spiteful slot in that black door invites my retrospection, but it's hard in there, I see no more, but it's dark in there, I see no more, only vapors on inspection. They think of me, my memories, in fact, at times they haunt. They'll even tap the door to tease, a twisted way to taunt. The daytime is ridiculous, I remember they would say, intent to see me swallow and have me think this way. No day is safe from mirrored truth, the sort that will mislead. Yet corridors of turbid youth collapse as I am freed. End poem.
Nice read.
Great read, Pam. Thank you very much. All right, Jean.
Well, you know,
since you're not mutating or lip syncing.
Yeah, I'm not lip syncing or mutating, exactly. I thought this piece was well done. I thought it was nice rhyme and meter throughout. Solid imagery and metaphors. And, you know, I just said looking back is not always easy. And I thought it was a nice take on that prompt. What did I do? I started from the beginning, of course. See, this is the beginning of the end with me. The architect of my days gone had vanished with the key. He grieved the world and threw his stones with regularity. You know, so the person that created us, you know, took the keys and kind of ran off. So it's hard to look back. You know, you can't really get there. And I thought that was a clever way to put that. The spiteful slot in the back door invites my retrospection. But it's dark in there. I see no more. Only vapors on inspection. You know, it's all blur. Nothing, you know, nothing can be seen. So I thought it was very clever and well done. And nice job, Virtual Anomaly. Really, really good piece. And thanks for sharing.
Thank you, Jean. Pam, you got to read it. What about you?
Yeah, I like this. I was really glad that Virtual Anomaly was inspired. It has great rhyme and flow, emotive lines. And I like what Jean had to say about, you know, how sometimes it really does hurt to look back. Really an excellent write on trying to stay away from the pain of memories. And I like this all the way through, but since Jean took the beginning part, I'll go with mentioning that another part that really stood out was the daytime is ridiculous, I remember they would say, intent to see me swallow and have me think this way. That idea of almost like those PTSD-style flashbacks that pull you into a dark place, and the idea of those memories, those thoughts that want to keep you in that dark place rather than let you get to that point of light. So
yep.
Excellent light and very well done.
Thank you, Pam. Although this kind of hits about the daytime is ridiculous. I remember they would say it kind of hits on the idea of the notes of friends, people telling you things that kind of keep you locked in a certain perspective. But I'm going to walk with the idea there's something a little bit deeper with that. The architect of my days gone had vanished with the key. He grieved the world and threw his stones with regularity. The spikeless slot in that back door invites my retrospection. But it's dark in there. I see no more. Only vapors on inspection. So the idea of him walking out of that, because he does hit on that sort of turbid, the corridors of turbid youth, the angst-ridden angles, the darkness that comes with it, maybe the even walking a different road than what you're used to, so to speak. But the idea of walking out of that black velvet mist that
that your mind is walking within, so to speak, which teases at you, tells you things. It hits on that note of they would say the voices. So maybe it's a note to also a little bit of mental problems, mental anxiety, because he hits on that. In fact, at times they haunt. They'll even tap the door to tease, a twisted way to haunt, taunt. The idea of that knocking, so to speak, that tapping on your brain. Hey, we're still here. You know what you got to do. But then the finish out, no deus safe from mirror truth. Again, that note of retrospection and introspection. The sort that will mislead, yet corridors of turbid youth collapse as I am freed. That mirrored angle, kind of walking out of that mirror and no longer recognizing the reflection because you are that, not that person anymore. So thank you, VA. All right, Jean, we're back on you.
Oh, it's on you. The next piece I'm going to put up for that song is called The Monsters Won't Find Me by Papa Terminus. So, Rex, whenever you're ready.
The Monsters Won't Find Me by Papa Terminus. Covered my face under the blanket. The monsters won't find me. My pillowcase wet with perspiration. A bad breath kiss, salty as brine. You woke in a muddy water when you're living in a box. No, the sun doesn't shine down. Only a traffic light shines, red. These fishbowl memoirs, they flooded my brain. Soon the rain will disappear. We'll pan for gold before the sun tries to puddle as we play. Blurred is my vision. Voices shout behind the walls. The scratch of the kitten's claws. From my gashes, droplets of venom get washed away. Soon I'll drift off to the banks, dying for cool water. Cover my face, waking up in a puddle of mud, falling back to earth with a thud. And poem. All right, Cam. Bring it on.
Great read there, Rex. I like what he had to say in his AN about Puddle of Mud being a very underrated band, and that they always sort of had a Nirvana sound to them, especially on Psychopath, Control, Blurry, and especially Drift and Die. And, you know, he says that She Hates Me, you can really hear the Kurt Cobain influence as well. I thought those were some nice thoughts shared within his AN, very cool, and I'd have to agree with that. Brilliant imagery and metaphors, powerful lines, an excellent write that speaks to me mainly on the idea of waking up to the dirty truth. The dirty truth being that the monsters, we try to hide from the monsters, but really there is no escaping from a society filled with monsters. And the idea of trying to sweep life away because you don't want to face the reality, but also knowing that eventually you will have to. I really like these fishbowl memoirs. They flooded my brain. Soon the rain will disappear. We'll pan for gold before the sun dries the puddles as we play. I like the fishbowl memoirs line because it's that idea to me of feeling trapped and seeing the same views over and over again, rather than finding a new vision, a new way of looking at things. Amazing lines all the way through and very well done.
Nice. Thank you, Pam. Oh, Jean, what about you?
Am I here? Oh, I am here. Yay. I thought this was a great piece by Papa Terminus. I liked the title references throughout. He only mentioned two here in... Oh, no, there they are. There's all three. There's three. I thought that was I don't know, well-penned and nice take on the topic because he didn't really single out one straight-up song. he incorporated a little bit from three of them. But I really liked it, and I thought it was nicely done. You know, where am I going to go here? You woke in a muddy water when you're living in a box. No, the sun doesn't shine down. Only a traffic light shines red. And then, you know, blurred is my vision. Voices shout behind the walls. The scratch of the kitten's claws from my gashes. Droplets of venom get washed away. Just a clever piece and really well done. So thanks, Papa Terminus. It's a great rate.
Yeah. The idea of monsters won't fly me, but that opening stance kind of hits me with the idea of what used to be the kid in the moment, under the blanket, pillowcase wet with perspiration, a bad breath, kissed all his grime, shipped the home, breathed out that note of fear expressed overnight. Yet that second one walks into a different atmosphere. You woke in a muddy water when you're living in a box. No, the sun doesn't shine down. Only a traffic light shines red. The idea of living in a box, somebody homeless. These fishbowl memories, they flooded my brain. Soon the rain will disappear. We'll pass the ball before the sun dries the puddles as we play. Again, that note to maybe someone who's homeless, but also flooded in the brain kind of hits the idea of maybe a PTSD or mental problems. Blurred is my vision. Voices shout behind the walls. The scratch of kids. That kind of hits me, the idea of a note to being locked up for a 72-hour stint to find out just how crazy they are, so to speak. The bottom one hits me of the idea of being drugged in a moment. Soon I'll drift off to the bank, dying for cool water, covering my face, waking up in a puddle of mud, falling back to earth with a thud, reality dawning once more. So, nicely done, Papa.
There you go. Okay.
All right, we're coming your way.
Well, the next song I'm going to play is called Blurry. And let me hit the button.
Everybody's
Yeah.
Nice. Okay. Well, Pam? No. Yes. Yes, Pam. This one's on you. This is called Locked Inside by Lady Fang. So whenever you're ready.
Everything's so blurry, causing so much pain. Muscles getting weaker until they seize again. Everything is so messed up, cannot strum at all. The music, it surrounds me locked inside these halls. It used to be a shelter, an outlet for the rage, but the picket falters locked inside this cage. Everything's so blurry, confusion comes to call. Memories are tangled, was it real at all? Everything is so messed up, speech begins to slur. Can you understand them, these jumbled, mixed up words? Once they came as poetry, flowing like a stream. Now there's so much stuttering, can't help but to scream. The music, it surrounds me, locked in these halls. It used to be a shelter, an outlet for the rage. But the picket falters, locked inside this cage. Everything's so blurry, I cannot work at all. I know that I was someone living life so tall. Everything is so messed up. The world behind to bend, and I began to fall. My mind can never mend. Is there hope at all? The damage has no cure, day by day to manage as I now endure. The music, it surrounds me, locked inside these halls. What was made to soothe me, it tortures me and on. Now the pick has fallen, I cannot carry on. End poem.
Great read, Pam. Thank you very much. And Jean, what about did you think?
Well, I thought this was a great piece, and I loved the story that she told. Well, I didn't love it. I mean, it's a sad story at the end. That she, you know, I mean, to read the author's notes. Paul Phillips, seen pictured with me above, was the lead guitar for Puddle of Mud in two separate stints. In 2019, he was rushed to the ER for symptoms of delirium and seizures caused by dangerously low sodium levels. Although the medical team were aware of his past alcohol abuse and how it could negatively impact the recommended course of treatment, they proceeded without any alterations. This caused musicians' sodium levels to rise too quickly, resulting in a type of permanent brain damage. And that's sad. It's very sad. Yeah. And I didn't know that her husband was a musician, so I find that to be a bit of interesting information on her. But, yeah, I thought the piece itself was really good. Let me see now, making sure I'm not. Everything's so blurry, causing so much pain. Muscles getting weaker until they seize again. Everything is so messed up. Can it strum at all? The music that surrounds me, locked inside these halls. It used to be a shelter, an outlet for the rage. But the pick of falters. But the pick, it falters, locked inside this cage. Yeah, I think that she really hit the notes of the story she told in the author's notes. And it was well done. And it's great to see Lady Fang writing for us again. I've actually missed her being around. So, yeah, great job, Lady Fang. And thank you so much. Really pretty incredible.
Mm-hmm. Nice. Thank you, Jean. And I sent you a message.
Oh, I got a message to go with it? Mm-hmm.
Yes. Pam, you got to read this. What about you?
Yeah, it was an honor to read this. And I, too, am really glad to see Lady Fang back and writing. Very cool. Very cool. Yeah, definitely a sad poem, but I think one that needed to be written. You know, my heart truly goes out to people in this situation where they basically lose such an important part of themselves. Mm-hmm. And especially, you know, when doctors don't take into consideration the best course of action for the patient. There's a raw, heartfelt honesty to this. On a technical level, there's great rhyme and flow with the use of repetition. It has a very lyrical quality to it. And I really like this all the way through, but I like how she especially describes the symptoms with speech against the slur. Can you understand them? These jumbled, mixed up words, once they came as poetry, felt flowing like a stream. Now there's so much stuttering, can't help it but to scream. And then the music, it surrounds me, locked in these halls. And locked in these halls makes me think of the idea of literally keeping yourself inside, but also figuratively, that the halls being the mind, and how oftentimes people who suffer brain damage, whether it's from this type of thing or a stroke or whatever it's from, the thoughts, the person they were before, is locked inside them, and they just can't quite get it out. And so just an absolutely amazing, heartfelt write, and very well done.
Nice. Thank you, Pam. She did give the explanation for the piece in her AN, but I can't help but feel this walks within another one's angle, too. Sid Barrett was kind of the same way with this. He was the original founding member of Pink Floyd and the driving force behind that group before he went totally off the rails. And I think his angle was frying himself with LSD, which kind of melted him from the inside out, so to speak. So this walks that very same angle of knowing the music, yet you cannot walk that angle anymore. You don't have the wherewithal to write, see what you're doing, or put down that energy into what was the driving nature of who and what you were in the moment. Everything kind of gets locked up inside the brain, or gets dissipated because other factors walk into it as well. So nicely done, Lady Fang, and thank you very much.
My goodness. Give me one darn second here. There's nothing ever just acts right. I thought I had this. There we go. I got it now. Yes. Okay. Let me figure out where I was and where the hell I'm going. That helps. Okay. Here we go. Almost. Good Lord. Okay. So let me see now. Let me see now. Lady Fang. Okay, so ouch. Okay. Let me see how I want to do this. I read your note, Rex, and it wasn't what you thought it was, I don't think. So, I'm going to do it.
Okay.
I'm going to put this one up. This is... Well, the next one I have is Drifting and Dying by Rarony 664. Let me put that up, and I'm going to have you read this one for us. If I can find out how did I get here. And okay, whenever you're
Drifting
ready.
Drifting and Dying by Rarony 64. Flashbacks to his younger self, carrying a luggage of dark memories. Father's screeching voice, his son sees him as the enemy and is shaking in its extremities. Stay away from me, screaming at dad's shadow, locking himself up inside his brain, he burrows. Eyes that drifted into yesterday, drifting and dying, haunted in hysterical gaze, not able to block out the sound of the rigor of rumination. Swimming in the river, sticks failing and covering his ears with cessation. His father messes with his son's head, striking chords of discord that he had bled, surrounded in the house by mirrors of his father and of his mirth, plunged into deep waters, washed away. Son wonders why he was there. Eyes that drift into yesterday, drifting and dying, haunted in hysterical haze, not able to block out the sound of the river of rumination. Swimming in the river sticks, flailing and covering ears of cessation.
Everything is so blurry, and his brain is jumbled. Out of the sheets on the floor, his body crumbled, falling back asleep with blurry red eyes. Bed turned down, thinking he would drift and die. Eyes had drifted from yesterday, drifting and dying, haunted in its terrible haze. Drifting and dying, drifting and dying, drifting and dying. And boom. And Rarooney did take a couple of prompts. Psycho, away from me, drift and die, and blurry. So, what do you think, Pam?
Oh, I like this. I'm glad they were inspired by a variety of songs. Very cool there. I noticed that they did put that this is a fictional piece, but I have to say it's a very strong fictional piece because, like I often say, it can be a fictional piece to you and to us, but it's oftentimes somebody's reality. And here we have the reality of a broken relationship between a father and son. And I get the impression that it leads to suicide. And, you know, I don't know, but I kind of got the impression that it was the father who, you know, in the end, you know, has to face finding the body of his son and face the reality of what has happened. But it also takes us into the mind of the son as he looks back and realizes all the memories that have haunted him, it seems like not just a physical abuse but a psychological abuse, especially his father messes with his son's head, striking chords of discord that he was bled. Surrounded in the house by mirrors of his father and of his mirth, plunged into deep waters, washed away, his son wonders why he was birthed. There's really that sense of trying to live, knowing you're nothing like a parent and feeling as if you had become a disappointment to them. I also thought the use of the word cessation and the reference to the river Styx, I like how they take a modern kind of rite and then use the Greek mythology reference and the idea of crossing over the river Styx into the afterlife. Also, haunted in his hysterical haze is great use of alliteration. So, you know, there's just a lot of great lines throughout this. And the unfortunate reality for some people that parental relationships aren't always supportive and that one often struggles with depression. So, excellent write and very well done.
Thank you, Pam. Nicely said. Or about you, Jane, or about you. What do you think?
Well, I thought this was really a great write. And he had so many of the prompts like listed in here, and you could see them as you were going through. It was easy, you know, blurry and drifting and dying. But I see in his piece, even though he says it's fictional, it's an image of someone trying to come to terms with all they've been through. You know, his father messes with his son's head, striking chords of discord that he has bled, surrounded in the house by mirrors of his father and his mirth, plunged into deep waters, washed away. Son wonders why he was birthed. You know, you kind of look back, and I mean, it doesn't make for anything, you know, cheerful. That's for sure. But drifting and dying, I mean, it's like that giving up, that drowning in just all of what's happened to you, whether it's a literal drifting and dying, you know, like a suicidal mission, or just the fact that you just feel like you're drowning in all the memories and the thoughts and what you've been through. So, I mean, it is a very well done piece of fiction. I'll give him that. Because he hit on things that I think really a lot of people could relate to, not everybody, you know, but a lot of people could definitely relate to this in one way or another. So an excellent, excellent job, Rerowney 664. Well done. Well done.
Nice. All right. Doug hit on the idea of, well, seemingly the serious conflict between father and son. And that third stanza, father messes with his son's head, striking chords of discord that had bled, surrendered and left by nerves of his father and of his mirth, plunged into deep waters, washed away, son wondered why his birth. I mean, that's a telling stanza right there. The mirrors offer up that what he sees. And what he sees is his father, because he is almost a mirror image of his father, so to speak, literally and figuratively. That note to swimming in the river Styx, flailing and covering his ears for vexation. That isn't the idea of death itself, because then you wouldn't be swimming, literally, and you wouldn't be covering your ears for vexation, because you'd already be in that note to passing on. I think that's the idea of living in hell in the moment, covering his ears for vexation, the notes of what hell offers, the three-headed dog, the note to what you hear emanating from that realm. Haunted in its hysterical haze, not able to block out the sound of the river rumination. Again, that note of rumination, the river Styx itself, but also the what haunts him, all those years of pent-up frustration that have beaten him into a beaten him down into a mental anguish. The second last stanza, I guess everything is so blurry and his brain is jumbled. Out of a sheet on the floor, his body crumbled, falling back asleep with blurry red eyes. Bed turned down, thinking he would drift and die. The drift and die, from that one, it was the idea of sleep. The drift off of sleep, to die, is the cessation of the brain actually working and bringing into your conscious mind the notice of all those memories that flood all day long. So the drift and die is wanting to be asleep out of the realm of understanding everything in the moment. So thank you, Rerowney.
Nicely
done.
Absolutely. Okay, I guess I'm supposed to do something now, aren't I? Well, yes, I am. Okay. Let me see now. Okay, I have one here by Betty Page. I'm going to give that a read. And here we go. This is called So Numb by Betty Page. I'm going to start calling her Betty Explicit. Because it's Betty Page Explicit. She got a hyphenated last name. Oh, my God. So numb. Everything's so blurry, and love, it seems so fake, and everybody's screaming, and everything is so screwed up, so vilified, so empty. He stole my kids from me. My whole world surrounds them. I stumble, then I crawl. We'd all be family. We would be serene. Please know that I'll protect you from all of the obscene. I wonder what they're doing. Imagine where they are. There's oceans put between us, but that's not really far. Can you take my pain away? Can you take my pain away? Well, he smacked me in my face. Such pain he gave to me. Can you take my pain away? Can you take my pain away? Well, he smacked me in my face. All my kids are changing. There's no time left to steal. There were no happy endings, so I don't know just how to feel. Because I am lost without them. I cannot live at all. My whole world surrounds them. I stumble, then I crawl. We'd all be a family. We'd all be serene. They know that I will save them from all this violent scenes. I wonder what they're doing. I wonder where they are. There's oceans put between us, but that's not really far. Can you take my pain away? Can you take my pain away? Well, he smacked me in my face. Such pain he gave to me. Can you take my pain away? Can you take my pain away? Oh, he smacked me in my face. Such pain he gave to me. No, nobody told me where to go. Nobody told me I could stay. Everyone showed nowhere to turn. told me, so I ran away. Nobody told me when to cry. Nobody told me what he'd say. Everyone showed nowhere to turn. Showed me, so I ran away. Can you take my pain away? Can you take my pain away? Well, he smacked me in my face, this pain he gave to me. Can you take my pain away? Can you take my pain away? Well, he smacked me in my face, such pain he gave to me. All this pain he gave to me. This pain he gave to me. Take my pain away. Please take my pain away. This pain he gave to me. Can you take my pain away? This pain he gave to me. Can you take my pain away? This pain he gave to me. The hell he gave to us. End the poem.
Great read, Gene. Thank you very much. All right, Pam. Bring it all down.
Oh, my goodness gracious. This one brings tears to my eyes. I mean, my heart just really goes out to Betty. I will say that on a technical level, as always, she does a spot-on parody. And the emotional impact in this, the powerful lines, the raw honesty, it really all just tears the heart apart. And you know, the idea, she writes in such, like I said, a raw, honest way of what it's like to go through physical and emotional abuse and how it doesn't just hurt in the moment, but it hurts for years afterwards, especially with the idea that it's not only the physical and psychological pain that you have to recover from, but the idea that for many people, it tears families apart. It makes for strained relationships with children and parents, and you know amazing lines all the way through. I have to say that while it's such a sad and hurtful poem, but it has to be said. You know what I mean? When I say hurtful, I mean like the fact that I hate that somebody has to go through this kind of pain and this kind of abuse, but I think it's so important to write on topics like this and standout lines all the way through. But what especially stood out to me was we'd all be a family, we'd all be serene. They know that I will save them from all his violent scenes. I wonder what they're doing. I wonder where they are. There's oceans put between us, but that's not really far. You know, and sometimes those oceans can be literal, and sometimes they're metaphorical. That idea that the relationship, no matter how much you try, isn't going to be completely fixed. There's always going to be that bit of a gap caused by the abuser. So amazing write and very well done.
Well said, Pam. Thank you. And you got to read it.
Yeah.
What about you?
You know, a rough piece. Betty just puts it all out there. Let's be real. And, you know, it's been a while since I heard the song, like three poems ago. So now I'm like, does it line up? Does it line up? But everything's so blurry and love, it seems so fake. And everybody's screaming. Everything is so screwed up. So vilified. So empty. He stole my kids from me. My whole world surrounds them. I stumble when I crawl. I mean, what a way to begin this piece. You know, she pulls in the title of the song in that first stanza. Sorry. And I can't help but, you know, say, yeah, I think it probably is a good take on the prompt if I went back and read the words again or listened to it again. But what a story to be told here. And, you know, she's just reaching out, can you take my pain away? Can you take my pain away? You know, like, it's kind of like a cry for someone. Can someone help me? You know, and then down here in the bridge, you know, it's like she tried that route. Nobody told me where to go. Nobody told me I could stay. Everyone showed nowhere to turn. Told me, so I ran away. Nobody told me when to cry. Nobody told me what he'd say. Everyone showed nowhere to turn, showed me, so I ran away. Just a painful piece on so many different levels. And Betty, I think you did a fine job with this. And yes, my heart definitely goes out to you. It's just not easy. So well done, and thank you for sharing with us. And thanks for sharing with us on the level that you did. I think that it says a lot. Great job.
Nicely said, Betty, and I agree with both you, Sam. This is a bit more in-depth and relatable than Betty put down. And I encourage everybody, read the AN. It'll offer up quite the explanation so you can actually read more into the lines themselves and understand the true thought behind this piece itself. So do read the AN, and it'll open your eyes a bit more. So, well said, Betty. Yeah.
Wow. Yes.
All right. We're coming back your way.
Yeah, I was still lost in this last one. Okay, Rex, the next piece I'm going to put up is by Errant Panther, and I'm going to put it up for you to read.
Okay.
And here we go. This is called Throwing Shade, The Disillusion by Errant Panther. Whenever you're ready.
Throwing Shade, The Disillusion by Errant Panther. Cannot see the reason for lines upon my face. Cannot fathom answers for your cold embrace. Promises mean nothing, but were the only way to feel. Now I'm wishing there was something to stop this being real. You threw it all away. You threw my love away for a truth you refused to face. Now you're playing me like a game. You threw my love away. Just threw it all away. I don't know where it all began or how everything got so blurred. Am I supposed to let it hang? I forget that now we've both been burned. Taken to the edge now, did it need to be so hard? To rise above this wreckage, I'll have to absorb this shard. You threw it all away. You threw my love away. For the truth you refused to face. Now you're playing me like a game. You threw my love away. Just threw it all away. Cannot see the reason for lines upon my face. Cannot fathom answers to your cold embrace. If the skies ahead weren't so clouded, maybe we could try. If I weren't so damn astounded, maybe we could fly. And poem. Another one, back to back. All right, Pam.
Oh, wow. This one, just absolutely brilliant. I'm glad he was inspired. Great rhyme and flow. Amazing imagery and metaphors. Heartfelt line. I like what he says. I don't know where it all began or how everything got so blurred. Am I supposed to just let it hang and forget that now we've both been burned? I like how that speaks on the idea of realizing at some point a relationship became broken, but not realizing at what point. I also really like, you threw it all away, you threw my love away, for truth you refused to face. Now you're playing me like a game, you threw my love away, just threw it all away. That rejection of a love offered, and the game played with the heart. So, brilliant lines and very well done.
Mm. Nice, thank you, ma'am. All right, Jean. How about you?
This is a great piece by Errant. excuse me. Yes, I am off mute. Yes, I had to check. I was reading along, but the last line's kind of pretty much summed it up. If the skies ahead weren't so clouded, maybe we could try. if I weren't so damn astounded, maybe we could fly. It's like, you know, you go through all this and you've been put through pretty much the ringer with changes in your situation for whatever reason. And someone just like pitches it into the wind and you're just whatever. You know, sometimes it's just no going back to that, you know, because even if you did, it's still tainted and it'll never happen. It's hard to just forget what happened. And I think that it is very well said. But where? I don't know where the hell it went. I had a line in my head that I saw. I guess I got rid of it all. But, you know, promises mean nothing, but we're the only way to feel. Now I'm wishing there was something to stop this being real. You threw it all away. You threw my love away for a truth you refused to face. Now you're playing me like a game. You threw my love away. You just threw it all away. I don't know where it all began or how everything got so blurred. Am I supposed to just let it hang and forget that now we've both been burned? You know, taken to the edge now, did it need to be so hard to rise above this wreckage? I'll have to absorb the shards. I think that it was well done. I think there's, yes, I don't know. I just think that the emotions in this were well expressed, because you can feel the pain and the hurt. And you can definitely, when you get to the end, deal with the not going back thing. You know, sometimes that's easier said than done, but I believe it's true. Sorry. So, Aaron, I think you did a fine job with this, and I think it was a good take on that prompt. And thank you so much for sharing with us. Absolutely.
Nice. Oh, I got to start with the title, Throwing Shade, the Disillusion. All right, Throwing Shade offers up that note to how you get under somebody's skin by throwing shade at them. Those lies that are told with just a smidgen of truth in it, but they're dark, delirious, and they wash over someone. The dissolution points to a marriage that is at its back end of things because of not just the shade, but everything else. Because that second stanza hits on the idea. Promises mean nothing, but we're the only way to feel. Now I'm wishing there was something to stop it being real. Betrayal walks in that one, and along with everything else. You threw it all away. You threw my love away for a truth you refused to face. Now you're playing me like a game. You threw my love away. Just threw it all away. Now that note's a game plan. The lawyers getting involved, friends, and everyone else. And then that, I don't know where it all began or how everything got so blurred. Am I supposed to just let it hang and forget that now we've both been burned? Oh, okay, so there's a little bit of maybe comeback or payback with that, but still, it doesn't take the edge off of where it all started. And then it gets on, taking the edge now, did it need to be so hard to rise above this wreckage or have to absorb the shards? That's heavy on the implication there. He's been pushed to the edge, and she's made it extremely difficult. And in order to walk out of the wreckage, he has to take all those slings and arrows just to walk away with some semblance of self. And then that back again. Cannot see the reason the light upon my face. Cannot fathom answers for your cold embrace. Oof. Hard notes. And that the last one, if I weren't so damn defended, maybe we could fly. But he offers up that behind the, if the skies ahead weren't so clouded, maybe we could try with those four lines of stuff. Had me thinking of she's trying to do something to get back in his good graces, but it has me thinking of when pigs fly,
yeah,
so to speak. A little bit of a backlash to, yeah, like I'm stupid enough to walk that narrow road again and get booted a second time in the ass. No, thank you.
Absolutely.
So, nicely done there, Aaron. Thank you very much. That was a good beat. A couple of darkies we had this evening.
Yes, yes. You know, I just looked at the clock and I went, oh my God, it's 5 minutes to 12. Amazing.
Oh.
The night blew past.
Damn.
Yeah, I was ready to, like, for the next piece.
Well, hang on a second. We got 1, 2, 3. I got 4 pieces left.
Mm-hmm.
I think we'll open next week with those 4 pieces. So that way we can do the music with it. That way, I don't want to take anything away from anybody, considering we did have some conversation on a lot of these pieces. So.
Right.
Maybe we'll do Aaron's again next week and get his SoundCloud in so we can hear him read it.
I like that idea. Okay.
Nice. So we'll have those pieces from we got Christy Marie. We've got Pam.
Pam. Yeah.
We've got.
I was going to say, how could you forget Pam Ray? Like, is it
Lockdown
Love Girl? What's her name?
Lockdown Love. And we'll drop in again, Aaron. So we'll have 5 pieces. We'll be doing yours first thing next week. We'll have half a show on we're finishing up Puddle of Mud, and then we'll move into Steve Winwood. So,
sounds good.
Great show, ladies. Thank you very much. That was a lot of fun. You get a two-parter, Anne.
Not bad.
Well, a part and a half. But that's good for two shows.
Great show, Rex and Jean.
Yes, absolutely.
Yeah, it was a lot of fun.
Yeah.
And some really deep and thought rights with some of these pieces.
Yeah. It really drew out some great thoughts.
Yeah, Aaron's and Betty's and Ree Rooney's. Then there was also earlier we had Eric's, and Jim. They've got some really some heavy noted pieces in this.
Absolutely. Yeah, it was a great show. Let's see. We have 90 seconds. We have no After Midnight show tonight. Join us tomorrow for Keeping It Brief with Naomi Sarah and Puddles 33. And who else is on that show, Pam? Is that Ed Hunter?
Ed Hunter.
And make sure I got my Mondays straight. And after that, join us with Louie Wild Dove and the Garden of Enlightenment, to be followed by After Midnight with Rex and Pam. I hope everyone has a great night. And thanks, Rex. That was a great show tonight. And good topic, Pam. Very good. Nice.
All right, gang. We'll see you next week for the finish of Puddle and getting into Steve Winwood. Mm-hmm. So have
Absolutely.
A wonderful evening, guys. And thank you very much.
Good night, Rex.
Good night, Jeanine.